Gospel and Scripture with Brother Len on Golden Guide.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my
people of God, welcome to this program, Golden Guide. The scripture says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or destruction. From Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. So therefore, we need the Golden Guide.
Mga kaibigan at mga kapatid, magandang umaga na naman sa ating lahat. Nandito na naman ang ating palatuntunang ginintuang gabay sa English Golden Guide at sa aking dayalik na si Buano Bulawanong Giya. Salamat mga kaibigan at mga kapatid sa Panginoong Diyos, no? Pinag-iingatan tayo sa buong linggo, pati ng ating mga mahal sa buhay doon sa Pilipinas o kahit dito, merong iba, mga kamag-anak na dito na sa New Zealand o kahit sa sulok ng mundo, ang aking kapatid doon sa Dubai, ang aking bunsong anak nandiyan sa Hong Kong, salamat sa Panginoong Diyos. At mga kaibigan, salamat, magdasal muna tayo sa sandali, mga kaibigan. Panginoong Diyos, salamat sa umagang ito. Salamat na naman sa Banal na Espiritu na magliwanag sa aming kaisipan upang maunawaan namin ang iyong layunin, ang iyong kalooban dito sa aming buhay. Wala po kaming magagawa kung wala iyong tulong. Pakitulong, Ama, ito aking dalangin. Sa pangalan na iyong bugtong nanak na aming tagapagligtas, aming Panginoong Heso Kristo. Amen. Sa umagang ito, mga kaibigan, meron tayong ilang mga kaibigan nagdiwang sa kanilang karawan, no? Belated happy birthday, Alfred Mercadal Andalis. Aking kasama kaibigan sa trabaho dyan sa 92 Albert, mga kaibigan sa City, sa Auckland City. At belated happy birthday din ni Brother Reynold Di Guzman. Belated brad. Ilang taon na ba? 63 na? Dalawang taon na lang maghintay para ka makapensyon dito sa New Zealand. Sa inyo itong lahat, asa nagdiwang sa inyong karawan, sa inyo itong lahat, mga kaibigan, no, pakinggan mo na natin, mapaglingkuran ko kayo kahit man lang sa pagtugtog ng awit, no? Ang awit, ganun pa rin, mga kaibigan. Happy birthday, mahal, kay Ma'am Gloria Belen. Pakinggan muna natin sa inyo itong lahat, no, sa nagdiwang sa inyong karawan. Ito na. Salamat sa Panginoong Diyos, no? So once again, belated happy birthday by Alfred Andeles at si Brother Rinald D. Guzman at sa lahat ng nagdiwang sa inyong karawan. At isunod natin ang ating gospel song, mga kaibigan, kay Sir Carol Robertson. Maganda ito, mga kaibigan. One Pair of Hands, no? Pakinggan muna natin ito, One Pair of Hands, yung mga kamay ng Panginoong Diyos na gawa ng Himala, no? Those hands who has made a miracle, all kinds of miracles. The Lord Jesus Christ healed the all kind of diseases, and those hands has made a miracle, one pair of hands. So pakinggan natin, it is fit to the theme of our speaker this morning, Brother Sister Charmaine. He is now on the line in Pond. A call from this message from Australia, but she was before here in Auckland, and she moved with her family in Australia. So let us listen this. Pakinggan mo natin, One Pair of Hands, mga kaibigan. Ito ang gospel song natin sa umagang ito. Ito na! Himalang kamay ng Panginoong Jesus, no, nakagawa ng mga himala. At sa umagang ito, mga kaibigan, so Sister Charmaine magbigay sa atin ng mensahe, no, at pakinggan natin, mga kaibigan, ang ating kapwa Kristiyano doon sa Australia. Sister Charmaine, good morning out there in Australia.
Good morning, Brother Lynn.
Okay, you can start, Sister Charmin. Thanks be to God that once again we can hear your voice from Australia.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Magandang umaga.
Magandang umaga rin.
This morning we are going to jump straight into our Bible reading. And I'm reading from John 2 verses 1 to 11 using the NIV translation. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servant, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servant, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Jesus said to the servant, told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master or the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. Jesus, for the master did not realize where it had come from, the servant who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best for now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of many signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed him. Before I continue, I just want to pray for us quickly. Father God, thank you for this opportunity that we can listen to your voice. Though we in 2,000 countries, but you make it possible for us to hear your voice. Doesn't matter where we are, or what time of day it might be, or anything, Lord. When your message needs to get out, it needs to get out, Lord, and we give you all glory for that. Lord, as we listen to your message today, I open the door. Open our hearts, our ears, so we can hear your voice and glorify you for what you're doing. Lord, I also ask that you talk through me to glorify you, Lord Jesus. We love you, we honor you, and we worship you alone. And I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Gospel of John was written by the Apostle John. The Book of John, or the Gospel of John, focuses solely on who Jesus is and all his attributes, so that people will recognize Jesus' identity as the Word, the Logos, who became flesh in John 1:14. He is the eternal Word. He is the Son of God. He is divine authority. And salvation is only possible through Jesus, as John 14:6 says. And Jesus reveals God's love for humanity. And John wrote in John 20, verses 31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And even today, when people ask me which book in the Bible they can read and learn more about Jesus, I encourage them to read the Gospel of John so they can get a better understanding of who Jesus is.
Amen.
And also, it emphasizes that Jesus is the Son of God, his nature, his love, and his love towards us, the sinful people, and his mission for salvation towards us. John begins to explain that Jesus' first public miracle began on the first day in Cana, a small village in Galilee. On the third day, according to biblical scholars, points to the ultimate day, the ultimate third day miracle of Jesus' resurrection. This means that every miracle or sign performed by Jesus during his earthly ministry points to his death and victory over death. By starting his miracle in public on the first day, Jesus foreshadowed the new life he will bring by transforming the ordinary into the extraordinary, thereby setting the stage for his divine glory. Also, Jesus chose a wedding for his first time, signaling that his ministry introduces a covenant of joy, abundance, and intimate fellowship with his people. Wedding celebrations in the Jewish culture during that time could last up to a week, and it was the groom's responsibility to finance the wedding and provide food and wine for the guests. Running out of wine would be a social embarrassment and a lack of hospitality. And in a close-knit community or that time, such as this might have been, running out of wine would be a shame. Never forgotten and would haunt the newly married couple for the rest of their life. Also, the groom's family could be sued by the bride's family for failing to provide adequate wine and food. Jesus' mother and his disciples and Jesus were invited to this wedding. It was during this wedding celebration when Mary, Jesus' mother, learned they had run out of wine. Instead of running to the groom's family and telling him there's no more wine, she turned to Jesus and said to him, "They have no wine." Mary trusted Jesus and brought the news to him, confident that he would act according to his father's will. Mary understood who Jesus was. You remember what the angel Gabriel said to her before Jesus was even conceived. We read in Luke 1, 30-32, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.
Amen.
You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David." Therefore, she was watching as God's promises unfolded before her eyes. Jesus immediately addressed Mary as woman, not as mother. Addressing Mary as woman was not being disrespectful towards Mary as a. Instead, addressing Mary as woman implies that Jesus now has a different relationship with his mother. Then she asked him for help, not on the basis of a mother and son relationship, but rather as a fellow servant, asking Jesus, the Son of God, for help. Mary had faith in Jesus. She knew he was the Son of God. He's the only one with divine authority and power to perform the miracles. That is why she instructed the servants in verse 5 to do whatever he tells you.
Amen.
Jesus began the miracle by using what was at hand, 6 stone water pots. And they were used by the Jews for ceremonial purposes. Jesus instructed the servants to fill the water pots with water. But Jesus could have filled these pots himself. Instead, he asked the servants to help. Jesus had a different kind of authority, and the servants must have sensed it. Because when he instructed them to pour the water pot, they did so. They obeyed Jesus. A pot will fill to the brim, which shows us that Jesus does not add anything to the water. Rather, Jesus transforms the water in the pot into wine.
Amen.
And Jesus instructed the servants to draw some wine out and take it to the master or the banquet. They obeyed. And the reason could only be because the servants saw the miracle. Maybe the color of the water changed. We don't know. But when they took the sample to the master, they were not hesitant or fearful. Because if it was just water, the master would have been angry. But we don't know what he would have done with them anyway. The master of the feast tasted the wine. He questioned them, asking, "You saved the vessel now, which was not customary then. Normally the best wine is served first, and as the proceeding continues, the cheapest or diluted wine is served to the guests." He does not know it was a miracle. The reason Jesus transformed the water into wine was to manifest his divine power and authority over creation, and to reveal his glory to the people around him. We read also in John 2:11. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. In this miracle, Jesus shows the same God who created the universe created this wine. It means that the same God who created the heavens and the earth was and is at work among humanity in the person of Jesus. This miracle of turning water into wine foreshadows the latest sacrament of communion, in which wine symbolizes the blood of Jesus that saves humanity from sin and expresses gratitude for Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. In the Old Testament, when God was teaching people the law, the blood of animals was the sacrificial, was a sacrifice for sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice for humanity, as his blood took away the sins of mankind. Therefore, the wine, as the first of Jesus' miracles, represents Jesus' own blood, which shall provide salvation to believers through the grace in Jesus, as Jesus transformed their heart by the Holy Spirit. Following the miracle of water into wine, John continues to describe 6 more miracles performed by Jesus that pointed beyond himself directly to the person and the transformative work of Jesus. Each miracle of time that he and John is designed to bring us closer to Jesus by faith. John wrote in John 20:30-31, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name.
Amen.
That's when it mentioned these 7 miracles. In John 2:1, as Jesus turns water into wine, it reveals Jesus' power to transform and his glory. And in John 4:46-54, Jesus heals the official son from a distance. This reveals Jesus' authority over illness and the power of his word. He speaks and things happen. In John 5:1-15, Jesus heals a man who has been unable to walk for 38 years. This reveals Jesus' authority to bring wholeness and life.
Amen.
In John 6:1-14, Jesus feeds 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. This reveals he is bread of life, to satisfy spiritual hunger. John 6:15-21. Jesus walks in water, reveals his authority over nature and his divine identity. John 9:1-12. Jesus heals the man born blind. It reveals he eats the light of life. And the seventh one is John 11:1-44. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. This reveals Jesus is the resurrection of life. These signs describe to us who Jesus is. His divine authority and power. He is transcendent, which means he reigns over his creation. Jesus is also immanent, meaning that God is present and involved in the world and in the lives of his people, since he cares for us personally. Throughout the Gospel, Jesus' miracles display his willingness to help people. Wherever they were sick, he healed them. He fed multitudes. And in this case, preventing a potential shame for the groom at this wedding. All these biblical accounts show God's character as caring and merciful. In transforming wine into a water into wine, Jesus demonstrated that divine power not only meets spiritual needs, but also addresses real life concerns such as family struggles, financial pressure, sickness, grief, disappointment, uncertainty, and moments when we feel overwhelmed by life circumstances. Jesus is there with us. While this miracle was a sign pointing to Jesus on the cross, it also affirms God's personal key in the ordinary details of life and in our lives. This historical account of Jesus' first miracle, which focuses on a wedding feast,
2 minutes,
resonates with the overarching biblical narrative of salvation found in Christ Jesus alone. The transformation at Cana points forward to the transformation that takes place in human hearts when they wholeheartedly believe in the living Jesus. You might ask, how does Jesus transform our hearts? He transforms our hearts by giving us a new life.
Amen.
With faith in Jesus, we become a new creation. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jesus replaced guilt with forgiveness. Through his death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven and we are reconciled to God.
1 minute.
1:7. Changing our desires. Before the transformation of our hearts,